radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Tonight on the show, a featured interview with Ontario country artist Jamie Warren as he shares his brand new single, She Saved Me. He's getting ready to release a six-pack of new songs in April. Also on the program tonight, Saskatchewan's J.J. Voss and Ontario's Tiana Woods, catching us up on their latest news and latest singles. Now it's time to welcome Jamie Warren to the show. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, doing great. How about you?
I'm good. I'm just sort of getting used to the balmy weather that we're experiencing.
I know. The winter has been up and down. The last week, such a mild day.
We've had, it's one of those things where this is our third one in a row. And I'm speaking or collectively talking about southwestern Ontario. And
right.
We haven't really had a winter in three.
No.
So I'm just, knock on wood, I'm okay with this minus 20 for a week or so.
Yeah, have you been able to do any golfing in any spots that there is no snow, or have you thought about it?
No, and that's, yes, I definitely, this is usually the time of year, once I get into February, I've got my crew, there's four of us that golf together every Wednesday, that's our
right.
Wednesday, this is about the time of year you start thinking about that, and we've had, again, talking about our Ontario weather, southwestern Ontario, pardon me, is that, we've been golfing before April. This will be, I'm hoping, for our third year in a row.
Nice. Something to look forward to. Now, last time we spoke, which hard to believe, but it was January of 2011, so that's 2 years now. But off the top of the show, you talked about the cleanse you do at the beginning of the year, which
yeah.
I thought was really cool, and it sort of filters into all parts of your life.
Yeah, and this is my sixth year. I'm a month in, and I've got one more month to go. And I like it. It gives me a chance to sort of clear my head. That's probably the most literal translation of how my cleanse works for me. And I it sort of starts the year off in a clear way, and then of course I clutter it up as the the year progresses, like everybody else.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, is this also the time of year that you get back into songwriting full force? Is it the beginning part of the year where things kick off and you start going at it?
Yeah, you pretty much said it for me. January is kind of a clearing, cleansing, get my head back together. And usually the end of January is when I start writing. And I'll
right.
write through till probably the beginning of May. But most of my... my heavy writing is February and March.
Now, one guy that you do a lot of writing with, and one of my favorites from country radio from the past, Dwayne Steele. Love his voice and his songs, and you guys do a lot of work together.
Yeah, Dwayne and I have had a similar process, not just in how we write songs, but we're, I'm 1 year older than Dwayne, and we've both been signed to a major label, and we've had about the same amount. I think we're about six CDs each. So the cool thing is that I'm a fan of Dwayne's as well. Like, I think he's got one of the coolest voices that we have in Canadian country music, and he's
right.
a great writer. And I really enjoy writing with him. But he's also one of my best friends, and we have, again, as I started by saying, a lot of similar, just a lot of similarities in our lives. And so it's nice to have someone that I can. I can bounce things, that I can have a direct conversation and we get it because we've sort of experienced a bunch of the same stuff.
That's very cool. Is there any difference, Jamie, in your songwriting the songs you write on your own versus songs you co-write? Does anything change in that process with the end result?
Well, it's interesting. I'd answer the question, or I'll change your question for you, because here's
sure.
I haven't written a song by myself for about 15 years. And the biggest reason, I'll start songs or I'll noodle and have a song idea, and
right.
I enjoy bringing somebody else to finish it and to work with, because it's fun to work with somebody else. Will I write another song by myself alone? Yeah, probably. So what happens a lot of times, like Dwayne is a good example. We were talking about, like, Dwayne and I will get together to write a song, and usually in the process of writing, we'll know whose project it's for. So,
right.
You know, we're writing a song for my record. And usually when that happens, you sort of give the person the benefit of the doubt, like whose process or whose record it's going to end up on. And then conversely, if we're writing something for Dwayne, because, you know, Dwayne might be, and I'm not going to sum it up, but Dwayne can be maybe a little more traditional than I would. And gotcha. I might take a song just slightly this way. But if that makes it comfortable for Dwayne and it's for his project, you know, he gets the benefit out of the doubt. And so I think sometimes in the co-writing process, you're not just writing, you're always trying to write the best song you can. But sometimes you are sort of working with allowing it to be for that artist.
That makes sense. Yeah, you're gearing it towards what Dwayne is going to sing versus you, and each of you have your own voice, literally
and
figuratively.
Yeah, and see, sometimes it's fun too. I think this is a blast because we'll write a song, and as an example, Dwayne's got a really cool rootsy Western record that he, like a bluegrass record, that he's just recently finished. And we share a song that's on my new one that's coming out, and his version of it is substantially different than mine. It's the same song.
Yeah.
It's just his arrangement and his take on it.
Interesting.
And to me it's fun because and sometimes too Dwayne will send me a little demo, and then of course I demo it for my record, and it's fun to see the sort of different slant. And the cool thing about that is a lot of times too when Dwayne will toss me a demo that he's done, he'll take a song in a different way that I wouldn't have, or come up with an interesting phrasing that I wouldn't have used, that I go, oh crap, I'll do that. No, I mean, and that's cool. That's cool to have the two different sides of things.
That is, it's interesting what each singer and artist, the touch they put on the song and it's been.
Yeah, and you know the cool thing, and Dwayne is just he's a good writer, and that's why he's fun to write with. You know, I know when I sit down with Dwayne, we're going to write a good song, whether it's for his record or for my record, just because he's good, and I'm okay too. You know, I think that, you know, we do a pretty good job writing a song. And even though stylistically we might be slightly different, the one thing is that we're both relatively anal about, you know, massaging details and all that kind of stuff. And I think you'll find that with good writers in general, right across the board, where they don't mind rewriting a song or revisiting a song or making sure that everything is perfect. And nothing is perfect, but is as best that you can be. Because that's the thing, when I deal with new writers, and in essence, with brand new writers, you end up kind of helping them and teaching them a little bit. And mostly it comes down to that massaging of details and to be able to edit or, this is a double negative, to re-edit.
Right.
You know, to look at something and fix it or change it, where sometimes new writers aren't that, you know, aren't necessarily that good at it or don't want to be that good at it. And it doesn't necessarily come easy to change something.
I think a new writer, if they've written something, it's almost like it's written in stone and they feel that's the song right there. But as you're saying, you're writing it and rewriting until every little detail is perfect because you've got to live with that song.
Yeah, and I mean, there are the stories, the manna songs that fall, you know, from heaven, is that, you know, you'll wake up one morning and it writes itself. I mean, unfortunately, those are the stories that media loves, right? And it's fun to hear those stories, right? And I have a couple songs out of all the songs I've ever written, and most artists are like that. What's not told is that's two songs out of the other 300 took hours and hours and hours and hours, right? And so people, because those stories get perpetuated, they think it's supposed to be that easy.
It's like an overnight success. That's not the case. There's years prior to that.
Well, absolutely. And I think that you always have to try and make things that much better. And sometimes it's the length of a song. Sometimes it's the structure of a song. Sometimes it's the arrangement of the song. Sometimes less is more. And again, with new writers, sometimes they will play me a song which they are, you know, really keen on and think it's awesome, and I'll ask them a couple questions, and sometimes through the question process, where I said, well, explain the hook line, and they look at you kind of funny, like, well, it's blah blah blah. I said, okay, well, what's the song about? And again, with the funny look at me, they will start trying to, they'll explain their song. And in their explanation, the lyrics that they explain it to me with are better than what they have written down on the page.
That's interesting.
Sometimes people, you know, and songwriting today in country music is very free-flowing. The lyrics are train of thought. They're not formal anymore. And so that, you know, it isn't, you know, you don't sit down and write lyrics per se, A, B, A, B, A, B. There's a lot of internal rhymes, which I love about the new country music. Currently in the new flux with the new writing, if I included the last year and a half, there's been you know, Taylor Swift, I think, has been brilliant for country music. I love what she's done with internal rhyming and phrasing. A lot of the boy-girl bands, Perry, Lady Antebellum, meaning where now the in thing is to have a boy and a girl voice singing at the same time.
That's right, very popular.
Yes, yeah. which I think is awesome. I think it's refreshing. But the songwriting style has changed. And even when you have an Eric Church having a hit with Springsteen,
cool song.
Yeah, but a brilliant chorus, and the phrasing is really cool, and the cadence and phrasing in the choruses and the melody all combine. Regardless of the lyric, I think that it's a fun time, again, in country music. For me, not to make it about me, but that's isn't that great artist.
It's your show.
Yeah, but that's why I'm kind of excited about this new record that I've got coming out, is that what I'm hearing on the radio, songwriting-wise, the style of songwriting is what I've always done. And so I feel like there's a place for my music. You know, again, it may just be for the next year and a half, and it'll change to something else. But that seems to be my history, is that, you know, people seem to consider me country every 10 years, you know, for a record or two, and then not so much. And that's not whining. That's just the reality of what it is. I think that the way, you know, whatever influenced me as a kid, it was somewhere between the Beatles and Merle Haggard. And that's as simplistic as I could get to describe my music.
It's a real mixed kind of sound. And one example of those songs, one of my favorites of yours and a favorite of many people, Sunny Day in the Park, really cool song. What's the history or story behind that one?
Well, and that was a unique tune. I'll tell you the story about producing it, and then I'll explain the writing of it. We had, I think, 11 or 12 songs on that record. And we did the arrangements with Rick Hutt, myself, and another friend that I won't embarrass him with the story. And the thing was that he did 11 of the songs, but he didn't get this tune. He thought this was the craziest, wackiest tune he ever heard in his life, and he didn't know what to do with it. So he went, you know, you guys figure it out. And so we thought we did, and it was the sixth single. It was the last single from that record, and we purposely did not release it early on because we knew it was a pretty quirky song.
Right.
And we weren't sure whether radio was going to think this is cool or it's just crazy. And the song I wrote with a friend of mine, who was my keyboard player at the time, Tim Lewis, who is from New Jersey. And he just fell in love with a girl from Kitchener, believe it or not, and ended up moving to Canada. So anyway, so Tim and I became friends, and through the process of writing this song, it was the first time we had written together, and I played him some of my influences, and he played me some of his. Now, he being a New Jersey boy, he played me some Springsteen, and then he played me this Beatles tune, Norwegian Wood. And it does this weird thing from the verse to the chorus, and I asked him, explain this to me mathematically. He said, well, it's going from the one major to the one minor, and it goes back and forth, and mathematically that shouldn't happen in a song. You know, and I went, oh, okay, that's fine. So we wrote this tune he had a drum loop, and I'd never written that way before, and I had this GCD back and forth thing, and I always run my little cassette player, and I let it run and I played with this drum loop, and Tim played along too, and I just let whatever fell out of my mouth. And I did it five or six times, and Sunny Day in the Park came out about the second take, and I kept repeating that and adding new words. And and so the hesitation and phrasing in the song really comes about from me thinking about what I might say next.
Okay.
So anyway, I did that, and that was interesting. So five or six takes of this verse stuff. We both realized the song was called Sunny Day in the Park. So then we wrote a chorus for it, just the normal way you would. And then I went home that night and listened to the five takes that I had done, and I got three-quarters of the lyrics to the verses just from that. And then when we came back to finish the tune, we needed a bridge, and I said to Tim, what was that Norwegian wood thing? And he said, it goes to the one minor. And I said, can we do that? And he said, sure. And that's what the bridge does in Sunny Day in the Park. It goes to the one minor. And that's courtesy of Norwegian Wood by the Beatles. So we had this funky tune, and anyway... Yeah. Didn't know what would happen to it, and we threw it out there, and we went to number 16 in 3 weeks. It's the fastest charting song I've ever had in my entire history of songs.
That shows you the magic of music, right? You can think you have it down to a science and know what's going to hit, but those quirky songs that are a little different can sometimes be the ones that take off.
And it does, yeah. And the two tunes that really, I mean, Cried All the Way Home was a huge hit for me and was in the top 10 for 10 weeks.
Right.
The two songs that seem to just be the gift that keeps on giving is Sunny Day in the Park and One Step Back. Just seemed to.
Funny, I had both those mentioned here as two of my favorites, the other one being One Step Back. I love that one. What's the history behind that?
Well, that's a personal story for me. Again, first times. That's the first song that Jason Barry and I wrote together. And Jason was fresh into Ontario from the East Coast. And the bridge goes to a four minor. I'm apparently teaching a math class today. And that was new to me. Jason showed me that one because it was time to write a bridge, and I asked him about doing something different. And that's a Beatles change. Anyway, so I think everybody
cool.
Everybody steals from the Beatles. But I had a verse and part of a chorus when I got together with Jason. I wanted to write a song about growing up, in my small town, which was Hanover, Ontario. And there are people in the song that are real people. Rudy, who found Jesus, was Rudy Feitinger was his name. He was one of my best friends in high school. And he did find Jesus. Now, he did not move to L.A., like it says in the song. He moved to Chicago.
But, poetic license.
But here's the deal, is try to rhyme Chicago in a song. So, again, I took some literal license, I guess, and changed that. And then Mary, the girl in the song, was Mary Ann Grove, and who was a girlfriend of another best friend of mine, Sean Hopkins, in high school. And I had this unrequited love affair with her, when I was 16 and 17, I was totally in love with her, would talk to her for hours and hours at parties, never ever made a move on her, and would never do that because she was my, one of my buddy's girlfriends.
And you never looked through her bedroom window?
That's I did not. No, I made that
no?
word up. I wanted to. And so, but I thought when I was going to, pick a girl to be in the song, it had to be her.
Right.
And I had a chance. She ended up, I tracked her down in Owen Sound when the song came out. And that's where she was working. So I had an opportunity to sort of have a phone conversation and just mention that the Mary in the song was her.
Yeah. Very cool. It's pretty, I guess that is neat when you can tell somebody that a song, whether their name is in it or not, was inspired by them. That must be a pretty neat experience regardless of what the song's about.
Yeah, I think that, I think so. Songs are not as autobiographical as people might think, but you're always pulling on personal experience.
Right.
And my brand new single was a song that I wrote with Carrie DeMare that was inspired by my girlfriend, Angela.
It's a beautiful song. Well, you've given us a little insight into it. Let's share the song now, Jamie, She Saved Me, and then we'll come back and talk more about it.
Sure.
Awesome. Great new song. I love it. You will love it, too. This is Jamie Warren, and She Saved Me on In the Country.
Mm-hmm. one heart broken down, left to drown and wandering alone under clear blue skies with blue clear eyes and hungering for more of what I thought love was before. Oh, I found the truth and I've been busy climbing castle towers, leaping tall buildings with all the strength I have.
Jamie Warren here on In the Country. That is called She Saved Me. You can head to his website, jamiewarren.com, and of course you'll find him on Facebook as well. Great new song, Jamie.
Thanks.
So talk about the influence, the inspiration. You mentioned written about your girlfriend.
Yeah, it was. I wrote that song with Carrie DeMere, and Carrie and I started writing together on the last record before this one, and she's wonderful to write with, and yeah, I mean this song that we just listened to was inspired by my girlfriend Angela, and it just sometimes hook lines just kind of appear, and there I'm disagreeing with myself from earlier. It's more so sometimes hook lines or lines or an occasional word will show up, and then
right.
It comes down to how you use them. And how you apply them, and what two or three words do you add to it to make it make sense? And that really just comes down to creative writing. And a lot of times, too, not to keep talking about new writers, but creative writing in general, it's interesting that any kind of creative writing outside of songwriting you go to school for, right?
True. Yeah.
And somehow you're just ordained with the ability to write songs, and I don't believe that to be true. It really is a craft. Now, is there some mysticism? Absolutely. I mean, that's the fun part. But it really is a combination of experience and learning. I mean, if you're going to write songs, if you're going to write anything, you should have a vocabulary.
That's right.
And you should know words, and you should be aware of what other songwriters are doing too. And how they use their words and how they use phrasing and I mean it's fun. I'm passionate about being a performer, but I'm quite passionate about writing, and I think it's it's a wonderful way to make a living. And
well, it all stems from a great song. I mean, regardless of the singer, they might have an amazing voice, but they've got to have the song that's special. I mean, if they're just singing average songs, it's not going to be the great experience it is when you have a great singer and a great song.
Yeah, and I think what is exciting these days with contemporary music, and not just country music, but that's what we're talking about right now is country music, is how the cadence and phrasing has evolved. And cadence and phrasing in the way that we could take Taylor Swift as an example. Now, the words are finite in terms of there are only so many words, and they've all been used at one point. So we can't change that. And then the chord structures, it's mathematical as well, and there's really no new chords. So then what can you bring to the table that makes something different or again, new or reinvented? And that's the phrasing and the melody. And so that's where Taylor has been fun to listen to. I mean, other than the fact she's not yelling at me, which a lot of the girls are today. I wish they'd be a little more breathy and quieter. Bless Carrie Hart or Carrie Underwood's heart. you know, she's had some great songs, but that whole thing about you know, that Taylor's as the best one is which I think is a great song. Mean is a neat tune.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's the da 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 da. Da 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 da. That's the catchy part of the tune,
right?
And that's the cadence and phrasing, and that's where you can, you know, everybody's going to say I love you at some point, and in the past they would say I'm going to tell you that I love you, and it's like okay, whatever, but these days it's kind of like I love you. And as goofy as that sounds, that's what's changed these days, and it's exciting.
It is. It makes the music stand out a little more, and as you said, it's very catchy when that kind of phrasing is used.
I think it's awesome. Now you could also, people are going to say, well, that's pop phrasing, and it's like, well, so what? I just like good music, I on my country station, I'd like to hear those pop songs, and I'd like to hear some traditional rootsy bluegrass. I like it all as long as it's good.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I think that you have to respect what people. I mean, ultimately, the fans buy the records and they listen to the music. I got a little tired, or I've always been a little tired of the redneck country. Here, let me tell you how country I am in my song, drinking beer and pickup trucks and all that kind of stuff.
Now, exactly.
If I offended, I don't have a problem with pickup trucks. I just don't want, you know, 7 of the 8 songs I hear on my country station to be about that.
Yeah.
I want something else. Maybe I'm showing my age. Maybe I'm showing my political leanings. I don't really know. I think sometimes that we don't have to be proud of being dumb, and I think sometimes in terms of the American version of country music can be presented that way. You know, let's be proud.
Yeah,
let's be proud that we're simple. There's nothing wrong with leading a simple life, but let's not be simpletons. You know,
exactly. There's a big difference, and there are well-crafted songs. I mean, guys like Steve Warner, back in the day, of course, and countless other examples of songs that aren't talking about how country they are, but they're just well-written songs and good ballads.
I grew up in a small town, and I get a lot of those things. You know, I only wear blue jeans, and I grew up in a small town. I can ride a horse, believe it or not. I wanted to be an NHL hockey player. I'm about as Canadian as they come, but I also do yoga, and I like white wine. You know, I mean, does it make me not country? And part of the reason I like wine is because I can't drink beer anymore because I have celiacs. But
we're learning a lot about Jamie on the show.
Yeah,
tonight.
There you go. But you know,
yeah,
I mean,
cool.
I love a rare steak, but I like tofu too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and I'm country, damn it. So.
There you go. Yeah, country isn't just one thing. I mean, I grew up in the city, and, you know, I've never worn a cowboy hat. I haven't been, you know, around horses, but I just love the music, always did.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you have to be, as you say, you know, drive a pickup truck and all that, and you might, but you can be a lot of things and love country music, for sure.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's interesting you brought up a cowboy hat. I don't wear one, and I've been offered to wear one, and I won't. And here's the reason: it's out of respect for the people that wear them. It's not I'm some city guy that won't be caught dead wearing a cowboy hat. I always wanted to be a cowboy as a kid. I mean, that's what we played. You know, I pretended to be cowboys. But the way I look at that is that if you're a cowboy, you get to wear a hat. And I know there's some singers that have never, you know, wouldn't know the ass from a nose of a horse that wear a hat because it looks good on them and it's part of the uniform. And I think it's disrespectful. If I were to wear a cowboy hat, I think it's disrespectful to all my friends that I know from Alberta that wear them because they are that. I don't want to ever be perceived as being a hypocrite. I thumbs up to all the cowboys everywhere, and I got a bunch of them that are my friends. They're the real deal, and I don't wear a hat.
Jamie, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. The time has flown by. I want to have you back on again to talk about songwriting because you gave us a lot of great insight during the interview, but I know we could talk just on songwriting and all of that great stuff. Thanks so much for being part of the show. I'll let our listeners know they can head to jamiewarren.com.
Yep.
You've got a six-pack of music coming up, which we'll talk about that as well another time, including the single we played on the show.
And I know
Chief
you only...
Thank you.
I mean, it's funny. With the Blake Shelton, Ray Price thing right now.
Yes, that's crazy.
We don't have time to get into that, but the songwriting, Ray Price was the first person to put an orchestra on top of his country music, and everybody thought he wasn't even remotely country.
Right, exactly.
So he was one of the pioneers when it comes to country music. But that's another. And by the way, J.J. Voss, I had a beer with him. He's a great guy. And my producer, Rick Hutt, is working with Channa right now. So say hi to both those people for me.
I will definitely do that, Jamie. That's awesome that you guys are all tied in that respect. Thanks so much. We'll talk again soon, Jamie.
All right. Have a good night.
Awesome. My pleasure. My guest right there was Jamie Warren. Again, the brand-new single is She Saved Me. Be sure to call your local country station and request that. Now let's spend some time with Saskatchewan country artist who Jamie Warren mentioned he has a connection to. It's J.J. Voss. His brand-new single is called Playing for Keeps. We're going to hear that in a few moments. And the album, it's a great title. I've always loved it. It's called Show 'em Who's Voss. Welcome to the show, J.J.
Afternoon, Dave.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I was actually just listening to your interview with Jamie, and I could listen to that guy talk all day. He is so intelligent and well-spoken.
I know. Amazing. I've got to have him back on for at least an hour show so we can talk about songwriting. You know, all the different aspects he brought up, I thought was really fascinating, and the changes in songs and the phrasing. And it's quite amazing. I mean, I love songwriting. I do it myself and love hearing about it, and Jamie is terrific at talking about it.
Jamie's done it for a long time, and he's written a ton of great songs.
Now, you and he shared a beer in the recent past.
Oh, we've run into each other quite a bit over the years. Him playing around Saskatchewan whenever he was around, we kind of ran in the same circles.
Very cool. You were talking the last time about many of your influences, JJ, when you were starting out in music and growing up. Some of the outlaws of country, Johnny Cash, Steve Earle, and John Mellencamp, who's sort of from the pop or rock world. Talk about some of those influences and how that shaped the sound you've come to have.
Well, just mainly those guys, they challenged the establishment. They colored outside the lines. They were an advocate for the underdog. And kind of where I grew up on a very small farm and basically a sports community that was very focused to sports. I never ever felt like I fit in. And when listening to their music was kind of like that's what I took comfort in. That was like my best friend.
When you were in your teens and listening to those artists, did you find other people around you were sharing the same kind of music? I know when I was growing up, and as mentioned to Jamie, I grew up in the city, but came across country music back in the 80s and since went on to love the stuff before my time and love the traditional stuff, but also all through the 80s. But I didn't always find a lot of people at that time who shared the same musical interests. I mean, I was listening to whatever was on country radio. Did you find people who shared your musical interests?
Yeah, there was not, like, the town I think had like 600, 700 people for a population. So I was a bit of an oddball listening to country music. And, at school I didn't have too many friends. There was a couple of us, maybe two or three of us, that were kind of the oddballs that would be listening to this, and it took a lot of teasing and ribbing for it. But so be it.
Exactly. It's great music, and I mean, a lot of people have come around to country music, and I mean, Johnny Cash, so many people respect him and love him, and I think that movie, too, that came out, Walk the Line, really, brought him back, and people really got to know his music through that movie.
Yeah, I think it just brought in a whole new generation. It just kind of gave him, his whole career, another, new life. Great songs are timeless, and that's what Cash put out songs that were timeless, and that's what, as an artist, I aspire to do as well. You always try to look up to the best in order to set the bar. So when you're looking up to people like Johnny Cash and Steve Earle and Mellencamp and people like that, that's setting the bar pretty high.
And as we fast forward to the producer who's produced some of your tracks, Harry Stinson. Now he. Was it that he produced some Steve Earle albums? Is that the story?
No, he was actually in the band. He moved back from Los Angeles to Nashville to join the Steve Earle's band.
Right.
When Tony Brown was pretty influential in getting Steve signed to MCA Records. The head honcho at MCA didn't really have any interest in signing him because Steve was a bit of a wild card. And Harry moved back to Nashville and was the band leader and he played on Guitar Town and Exit Zero and those, the first two albums that really broke Steve.
Yeah, I love Guitar Town, Copperhead Road. I think it's Devil's Right Hand or Devil's Left Hand. He did a lot of great songs, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that goes back to the songwriting thing, is his songs were about, I was listening to Jamie's interview and he was, preaching to the choir, writing songs about trucks and only about trucks and regurgitating that same theme over and over. Stuff that came out from that era, people like Steve, he wrote songs about that, but it was more about the human condition and it was more, mm-hmm. instead of bragging about being, he was looking at, the external influences that make people, that made rednecks what they are.
Exactly, and there's a big difference in the presentation in those kinds of songs. Jamie was talking about the songs that kind of fall out of the sky for writers and that those are very few and in between, and those are the stories we hear the most about, but so many songs are a lot more work. Do you have a song that came, I guess it's a two-part question, a song that came very quickly to you, and do you have a song that you struggled with or worked on for a long period of time?
As far as a song coming to me very quickly compared to other writers would be quite a bit different. the single that I'm releasing right now called Playing for Keeps, that one I finished the majority of the song basically within about a couple days. But there's one song on the album called The Whiskey, the Tree, and Me that I basically took 15 years to write.
Amazing.
I had the concept. I just don't know if I was ready to deal with it or ready to put it into words properly.
And I guess that's the case, right? If it's something that's either coming from a very personal place or something you really want to say, it may not be there, and maybe you're either not ready to deal with it or you just can't find the right way to express it, and you don't want to sell yourself short by writing a half-strong version of it.
Yeah, well, I guess that song, The Whiskey, the Tree, and Me, is about a family member that we lost many years ago, and I was really, really apprehensive about digging into it in the manner that, with the idea that I had, just because it might, his parents, it was a cousin of mine, I thought, I didn't know how his parents would take to the fact of me speaking for them, because I wrote it in the voice of what it would be like to be his father. And we lost the story is his my cousin was 17 and he died. And I wrote the song in the voice of his father speaking, you know, on behalf of him.
And that's a really deep place to go to, and that's obviously hard to write about something that close to you.
Yeah, I didn't know if I should do it or not, but then as I just went for it, and I think I put it out in a way that was respectful enough that they didn't, I don't think they hate me for it anyhow.
Right. Yeah, it's always tough writing a song that personal. Yeah, you're not sure if you're crossing any lines or, you know, just doing something too personal. I mean, that's always a tough thing. But let's turn to the new single, which we're going to play for our listeners in just a moment. It's called Playing for Keeps from the album with that great name, Show 'em Who's Voss. What can you tell us about the song, JJ? And this is your new song at radio.
Yeah, and that one is also very close and personal to me as well. It's basically about me and where I'm at in my personal life. And that, again, it's another thing that I'm apprehensive about putting it out there because I've never really, I've always kept that kind of stuff pretty close to the vest. And but I just, the song came to me and I just kind of put it out there. I had to get it out. And I think, you know, anybody who's, well, really of any age, but I'm in my 30s, and I've been single. I haven't really, I've never been married, and I've had a couple of serious relationships, but not a lot. I think anybody who's kind of holding out for that soulmate or looking for that one true love could relate to this tune.
Your website is jjvoss.com. Lots of information about you there. We're going to share the new single now. Our listeners can call up their local country station, and, of course, we encourage them to do that to get them to play this song. JJ, thanks so much for being part of the show tonight.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Dave.
Been my pleasure. This is JJ Voss, Saskatchewan country artist, playing for keeps on In the Country.
You don't have to tell me time's ticking away. Years are showing now. No need to remind me of the choices I made. I wouldn't change them anyhow. 'Cause I see a picture so clear in my mind. She's strong, steady, and true. With a heart on fire and a soul just like mine. I know she's looking too. I'm playing for keeps. I'm holding out for number one. Till my heart skips a beat. I'm playing for keeps. I'm looking for you. It's a matter of time.
And that's J.J. Voss playing for Keeps here on In the Country. And now we are joined on the line by Ontario country artist Tiana Woods, who's been getting attention at radio with her great song, Dancing with Elvis. She's got a new song to share with us, and it's a great one as well. We're going to hear it. Let's welcome Tiana Woods. Hi, Tiana.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. How are you this evening?
I am very good, thanks.
Great to have you back on the show. I had a great time chatting with you last time.
Yes, it was great chatting with you. It's always good chatting with you.
It's awesome, and we share the same last name. We're not related, but there's a connection there as well.
There definitely is.
And the other, it's Wood, not Woods, but Debbie Wood, who is a big part of this. And, of course, she's involved with Jamie Warren's career, and she is involved with your career as well, radio tracking and publicity.
She is, yeah. Debbie, very happy to be included with all the talented people on Debbie's roster. You know, she's really, really amazing and doing a great job for me.
Yeah, she gets your name out of radio, and I got to see her again at Western Avenue's CD release party this past Friday night, and she got me a better table than I would have had, so another good reason I love Debbie.
Excellent. I heard it was a great show.
It was. It put on a terrific show. Let's talk about you now. One of the things, I think we talked about this last time, but this is kind of an interesting fact. You did some announcing with wrestling. How did that work?
I did. I was the announcer for an independent wrestling company called EWF, and we ended up doing a TV pilot for female wrestlers, and
right.
A couple of the wrestlers, it actually starred Sensational Sherry, and through that, I got to meet a lot of the wrestlers from the WWE, King Kong Bundy, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Tito Santana. So it was really a lot of fun announcing for them.
That is really cool. That's something a little different. Not everybody can say they've done that or know someone who's done that. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It was different, that's for sure.
Now, on the songwriting side of things, we had Jamie Warren talk about it earlier, and JJ as well, just about the songwriting process. What is it like for you, Tiana? Do ideas come to you pretty quickly? Is it, you know, do you sit there and really focus on the words or the music part of the song?
You know, for me, Dave, I find usually the lyrics and the melody of the song come to me more quickly, and then developing the music after that. But, you know, some songs come really quick. You can write something in an hour. Some take months or weeks to write. It really, really just depends on how you're doing in that particular day.
How's the process of co-writing for you? Is that something you enjoy? And there's pressure, I guess, and there's a vulnerable quality to it as well, right? Because you're sharing something you believe is great, but you're not too sure.
Right. Co-writing's a lot of fun. You know, two heads, three heads are always better than one,
yeah.
I find anyway. And I've written with some really good people and actually trying to set up some new sessions this year with some different Canadian people. Written with Lynn and Carrie Chaters from Nashville, who are incredible. You know, they're professionals. That's what they do. Carrie has written for Reba McEntire. Between the two of them, they've written for Alabama, George Strait, a number of people. So it's really, really great when you can work with top-of-the-line people when you're writing.
Do you have a favorite song, Tiana, so far in your career that you've written, one that you really think has a little something more special than the others or at least feels more magical to you?
I guess one that I co-wrote with Lynn and Carrie, it's called Gone Is Yesterday, and it will be on my upcoming album. It's just a really, really fun song, kind of a girl power song,
right.
And it's fun. Yeah, it's got a good feel to it. I really like it.
Now, what are your stage performances like when you're in concert and putting on a show? Do you enjoy when you're up there talking about the songs and maybe talking about yourself in between singing the songs?
Yeah, performing, it really varies on the venue that I'm doing. I like to, you know, really put a good show on when I'm on stage. So if I'm talking about the songs, if it's more of an intimate venue, then I will talk about them more.
Sure.
If it's more of a high-energy show, then sometimes you can't do that. You have to, you know, go from one song to the next to the next. And I'm actually
right.
putting together a new show, which is a bit exciting, looking to do a bit of a tour in the summer, which we're putting together. and this is going to feature all the instruments that I play as well as singing. So it's great. I'm trying to incorporate those into my show.
That sounds amazing. You play 5 instruments in total.
I do, and I've actually added one more.
Wow.
I'm working on the fiddle.
Oh, cool.
I'm working on the fiddle. So, yeah, I play 5 instruments. I dance and sing. So I really just try to incorporate entertainment into my shows.
We'll look forward to that, and our listeners can head to tiannawoods.com, also Facebook, of course, and catch up on all this. Now, Dancing with Elvis did really well for you at radio. Of course, great song, and thanks to Debbie Wood as well.
Yeah, it did really well. We hit number 87 on the Canadian Tracks charts. So first single, that's not too bad at all. It's pretty good. So I'm hoping I'm There does really well as well. So we'll see
how it
does.
Let's talk about I'm There. We're gonna play it in a few moments on the show, Tiana. What can you tell us about the writing, the story behind it, and a bit about the production on it?
Okay. I'm There was written by 3 really great writers in Nashville, Michael Mobley, Roxy Dean Jones, and Jason Matthews. Now, Jason Matthews has actually given me a few songs that I've started working on for my album. So they're all great writers. The song itself is really different from Dancing with Elvis. I was actually given another Elvis song to do, but I decided, okay, I'm kind of Elvis'd out. I need to do something different now.
Right.
So we went into a bit of a different direction. And really, it's about a song about making changes in your life. You know, a lot of people get tired of the same old, you know, tired of climbing those ladders that are never reaching the top. So it's just a song about taking some chances and hitting that open road and just following your dreams.
Must be great to write songs in this case, this is one you wrote, but to record a song that's got that kind of message. And because some songs are fun, like Dancing with Elvis, and then a song that's got a bit of a message in it, like I'm There. It must be great to deliver those and know that people listening to it are going to have something to take away from it.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, I like to do fun songs, but you want to have that positive message. It's good. I'm a positive person, and this one definitely has a positive message.
Now, I can't recall if I asked you the last time you were on the show, but I'm going to ask you again, and the answer could have changed. But duet partners, is there somebody out there, Tiana, for this record or the next one, a singer you'd like to, whether it's a big star or you know, somebody on an upcoming level, somebody you'd like to sing with?
Oh, wow. There are so many incredible, incredible musicians there. I'd say Jason McCoy. You know, for a Canadian artist, if it was a Canadian artist I was picking.
Yeah, great choice.
Yeah, great voice, great personality, great person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say him.
That's awesome, yeah, great Canadian artist. Tiana, been such a pleasure speaking with you again, and we're going to share the song I'm There Now. Thanks so much for being part of it, and I wish you all the best as your music continues this year.
Thanks, Dave, and I'd just like to thank everybody for listening, and I know I had some Facebook people that were supposed to tune in tonight, so thank them as well. And Dave, we have to write sometime.
I would love to do that. Let's plan on that.
That sounds great.
A Woods
thank
Woods
you so much
co-write
for having
sounds perfect.
Co-write sounds great.
Awesome.
Thanks again,
Look
Dave.
Look forward to that. Thanks,
okay,
Tiana. Have yourself
soon.
A great night.
You too.
Bet. We will.
Bye.
This is Tiana Woods, brand new music. Again, be sure to call your local country station to request this one. This is called I'm There, here on In the Country. want to thank all my guests on this very special show tonight. Jamie Warren, J.J. Voss, and Tiana Woods. Great music from all of them. Be sure to call your local country stations and request these great songs we have heard on the show this evening. I'm Dave Woods. It's been another big night in the country.